to you just a few minutes about God's response always being positive. And I'm going to talk about 15 different things. Now, don't let your heart sink and get concerned here. It won't take that long. So I'm just going to give you a few pointers. And if after service, I can give you a copy of this and take it with you and study it out for yourself. Have you ever just needed some encouragement? That little saying I said this morning before I preached about the taking through the fire and through the different things. I don't remember what I said now, but you know about Sarah. If God can take Daniel through the lion's den, give Sarah a baby and raise Lazarus, then he can take care of us. I needed that today, and I run across that this morning, and I personally needed it. It's like, man, that blessed me. It just touched my heart. I'm going to share that because that was really good. So God's response is always positive, because oftentimes we have negative things to say about ourselves. Would you agree? Oftentimes we're negative. We have negative things to say, but God has a positive answer about it. We know we're freed. We're freed from failure and want and fear and doubt and weakness. We're free from the power of Satan, defeat, ignorance, sin, worry, bondage, and condemnation. We're free from those things. But I just want to follow and just kind of talk a little bit about some things that God's response would be positive to, although you may have a negative outlook. If you look at it from God's end and what God says about you, it'll give you a positive response. And so one of these things is sometimes we say it's impossible. Have you ever said that? It's impossible. Well, the Word of God says in Luke 18:27, Jesus said this even, that things that are impossible with men are possible with God. All things are possible. When we put our faith in God, all things are possible. We need to learn that, because we all hit negative times in our life or times where we're struggling with some things, and we need to understand it. With God, all things are possible. And so we release our faith. And then you say, I'm too tired. Have you ever been tired? Felt like you just wore plumb out? Well, Matthew 11:28-30 teaches us that God will give us rest. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. So take the Lord upon you. Say, I'm just give out. Well, the Lord says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. I'll give you rest. We need to rest in the Lord sometime. We carry the burden ourselves. And we can give it to the Lord. Lord, this is yours. That's too much for me to carry. I'm tired. I can't do it. The Lord says, I'll give you rest. And so let him do it. Sometimes we say, nobody loves me. Have you ever went through one of them, had one of those pity parties? Nobody loves me. I have those every now and then. Shucks, I may have one before the day's over. I don't know. Not planning one, but feels good. I'll do it. No, we all say that some. Nobody loves me. Well, God says, I love you. John 3:16, we all know that scripture. How many knows that scripture? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, to whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God loves you. Have everlasting life. God loves you. John 13:34 says that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. And so we're to love one another as Christ loved us, as God loves us. So God loves you, and we're to love one another. We're to show that love. So God loves you. Think about that. When you get down and out and think, well, nobody loves me, nobody cares. Nobody, cares of the trouble I've seen. The Lord will carry those burdens, and he loves you, and he loves you enough to save you. Well, that's enough. That's enough. And sometimes we say, I can't go on. Just done all I can do. Might as well just lay down and die. I've done all. I can't go on no more. Well, God says, my grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, Paul said this, when Paul was grumbling and complaining, I just can't do it no more. God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul said, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When you don't think you can go on, learn to lean on Jesus and boast in his greatness. what He can do for you, His the power of God, that He'll rest upon you and give you the strength to go on. I know it's difficult sometimes, but you can do it. And when you say, I can't figure things out, I always tell my wife pretty often, I feel this way sometimes, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box. You ever felt that way? I can't figure this out, but God says, I will direct your steps. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, He says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, for He shall direct your path. Direct your paths. So when you think, I just can't figure things out, lean on the Lord again. Let Him, trust Him, lean on Him, acknowledge Him, let Him lead the way. And He'll guide you the right direction. He'll do exactly for you what you need Him to do. And so when you say, I can't do it, God says you can do all things. In Philippians 13, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I can do whatever it is I need to do for the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can make it. I can do what I need to do. I can be well able. I'm well able with Christ's help to do everything I need to do. I can do it. You say, I'm not able. Well, God says you are able. God says you are able. Same thing you said, I can't do it. You can do it. God says you are able. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. Well, I just don't have the courage. God gives you courage. I don't have the finance. God says you're going to have sufficient finance to do whatever God asks you to do. You say, well, I just don't have the smarts. Well, God says, I'm going to make you sufficient. Fact is, He says He takes the foolish things to confound the wise. So you can do it. You're able. Sometimes we say, and I've said this, probably said all these at one time or another, it's not worth it. Have you ever got up and thought, it's not worth it anymore? Well, the Lord says it's worth it. Romans 8:28, we've quoted that already. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God that are called according to His purpose. It's worth it. Whatever you struggle, however you struggle, whatever you do for the Lord, it's worth it. It's worth whatever sacrifice you have to make. It's worth it. And living for Jesus is worth it. It's the best thing I ever did in my life was get saved. Best thing I ever did. And the second best thing was marry my wife. Third best thing is to stay in there and keep serving Christ. We just name all kinds of things, but you know, living for Jesus is worth it. It's always worth it. Doing for Him is. You say, I can't forgive myself. You ever felt that way? You done something? You felt like you just couldn't forgive yourself? But God says, I forgive you. If He can forgive you, surely you can forgive yourself. 1 John 1 and 9, I think Robbie's going to put that up there. Says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? Maybe you can't, but there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You are saved. If you've been saved and forgiven, well, you're forgiven. Let the Lord forgive you and don't carry that. Don't hold on to that stuff. You're forgiven. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're walking by the Spirit today, aren't you? Been saved? Well, forgive yourself. Move on. Let Christ do something in your life. Amen? Don't you want to do that? Or are you happy? I'm happy in Jesus, but I'm not real happy when I'm down on myself. It don't feel good. I don't know why we massage that thing sometimes, but it don't feel good, you know, to have these pity parties. You know, we're usually there by ourselves. Can't even get my wife to pity me, usually. That's just the way it works. It's the way it works. You say, I can't manage. God says, I'll supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I don't have enough grace, God will supply it. I don't have enough faith, God will supply it. I don't have enough grace, God will supply it. Whatever it is you need, I don't have enough finance, God shall supply it. Whatever it is you need to succeed in life, do what God wants you to do, he'll supply it. You might have some tough times, but God will supply it. God supplies all of our need. Whatever you need, more love, God will supply it. You need the fruit of the Spirit in your life, God will supply it. But you got to, you know, you go back to that one scripture I said, there's no condemnation to those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we're talking about spirit-filled people here, saved people here. You know, we all have these times where we don't feel up to par spiritually. And that's what I'm talking about. So God says, I'll supply whatever it is you need according to my riches in Christ Jesus. I'll do it. I'm going to take care. Why? Because you're a child of God. We're heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I need to camp there for just a second. We're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. My God shall supply. He's our Father in heaven. We can come to him, and the Bible says we can come to him crying out, Abba, Father. Father, I need some help here. I need some grace. I need some whatever it is you might need. You might need a little extra cash. God, I need some help here. I can't pay my rent. Well, I've been faithful. I'm being led of the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm living for you, and I need a little help here. Guess what? God will meet the need. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen it happen too many times in my own life where it didn't seem like we was going to have enough to get by, and we just cried, Lord, I'm a child of the King. I'm faithful. And God made a way. We look back over one period of our life, about 5 years, and we don't know how we made it. We don't know how we kept a roof over our head, kept a car in the drive. We don't know how we bought groceries, but we always had enough to eat, had gas in the car, and we made it. I had a tough period there. I was self-employed, and it just wasn't working. That was a period right before I totally surrendered to preach. Then I had another 5 years, 6 years of preparation after that. You know, there's a time of digging out and learning how to depend on God, and then there's another 6 years of preparation to go into full-time ministry after that. It took me about 11 years to get to this church. That's the truth. But God just kept meeting needs, kept supplying them. It's like, I don't know how he did it. I went to ask some help from a preacher one time. He said, go get it from somebody else. Well, I still made it. I don't think the somebody else helped me either. And we still made it. Got by without it. Why? Because my God supplied it. It just worked out. God took care of it. I didn't know what we was going to do, but God took care of it. Didn't miss a meal. I didn't gain no weight during that time. I didn't need to. No, God took care of us, guys. He just does that. That's how he works. So you say, I can't manage. God says, I'll supply it. You say, I'm afraid. Well, God says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. He doesn't give you that spirit of fear. When fear grips your heart, it's not of God. That's of the devil. That's the enemy. Trying to discourage you, trying to get you off track, trying to get you to doubt God. Whatever, he's just doing whatever he takes. He wants you to doubt God. But God didn't give you that spirit of fear. Have you ever felt that just kind of creep over you? You had to rebuke it? Spirit of fear. You're walking, you're living for God, you trust God, and all of a sudden this spirit just comes over you. I have. I had to rebuke that thing. I have to say, shake myself, you know. Sort of, you know, to shake myself, say, wait a minute here. That's not of God. I trust God. God's going to make a way. God's going to come through. I'm not going to walk in fear. And so I didn't do it. So he didn't give us that spirit. He gives us a love and power and a sound mind. Yeah, I may act crazy, but I'm not. God gave me a sound mind. That's what I have to think about some of y'all sometimes. They act crazy, but God surely not, because God gave them a sound mind. Wish they'd use it. I'm just funning with you. You say, I'm always worried and frustrated. You ever felt that way? Get up in the morning worried. Before the day's over, you're frustrated, wondering where God's at, where he's going to come through, and God tells you, cast your cares upon me. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon me because I, upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your cares. Don't hold nothing back. Cast them all upon the Lord because he cares for you. And he really does. There's no doubt about it. God cares. Absolutely cares for you. Nothing too big for him. Nothing too small. Nothing so great he can't handle it. Nothing so small he won't. God cares. He really does. Cast your cares upon him. Don't be frustrated. Don't be worried. Worry's not of God. Worry's of the enemy. He'll worry you to death. My father-in-law was a worrier. He worried a lot about stuff. And he'd tell me, he'd tell us, I laid awake last night thinking about this. Oh, Carl, why are you doing that? Don't worry. Don't lay awake worrying about stuff. Just give it to the Lord. Well, you don't understand. I said, I guess I don't, because I don't lay awake worrying normally. I just give it to the Lord. It's time to go to sleep. It's time to go to sleep. My wife takes after me every once in a while. Every once in a while, I say, did you sleep good? No, I didn't get sleep till after 1 o'clock. I was worrying about this deal. Well, why? And of course, then she'll always throw something else in. Plus, you're snoring. Well, if you'd lay down and go on to sleep, it wouldn't bother you. You wouldn't notice it. By the way, Tom, I know you snore too, the girls have told me. On that line of thought here a while back, the girls were staying all night with us, and Emma and Grace and the kids were sleeping with my wife, and I was down in the spare bedroom, and all of a sudden, Emma threw up, and Grace, so Grace come down to sleep with me, and it wasn't too long, she was out of there and back down to the other room, said, I just can't stand it down there, he's too loud. So she came back to the puke bed rather than the freight train. Remember? So I can't stand it. Had to get out of there. So in case you wonder, I do snore. It don't bother me normally. Getting rhythm, it puts me to sleep. Anyway. Anyway, don't be worried. Don't be frustrated. Just go to sleep. Give it to the Lord. Amen? You say, I don't have enough faith. And God says, I've given everybody a measure of faith. Romans 12:3, he says, you have the proper, look at Romans 12:3. What's it say there? For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, have dealt to every man the measure of faith. God's give everybody faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now, let me read it so I can always quote it, but right now it's just slipping my mind. Look at it, Hebrews 11:1, Robbie. You're quicker than I am. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have faith in God. He's given us all faith. Let's have faith in God. If you back up there a scripture, a chapter in Hebrews, it says in verse 38, still, now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We're to have faith and not draw back from our faith. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You got to have faith to be saved. And you got to have faith to be safe. Have faith in God. You've got enough faith. God has given you faith. Jesus talked about a mustard seed faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he said, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll obey you. That's what Jesus said. I mean, he had faith, and he believed in faith, but he said, don't take a lot to get a lot done. Just a little bit of faith can move mountains. So remember that next time you face a mountain in your life. It feels like a mountain to you. Remember, just a little bit of faith will move that mountain, because you're a child of the King. You're a child of the Most High. Just a little bit of faith touches his heart and will move a mountain. Say, I'm not smart enough. I could have saved that crayon comment for this, couldn't I? Got a brick shy? I'm not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him you are in Christ, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who become for us the wisdom of God. So we're in Christ. We have the wisdom of God working in our lives if we're in Christ. God will give you wisdom. Sometimes we ask him for things and then we don't listen to him when he talks to us. Just for one small brief example, several years back, I was working for the water company, and I was thinking about getting another truck. I was always trading back in them days, and my wife, she won't let me anymore. But well, she couldn't stop me if I really wanted to. I'm a man in my house. And well, I am. May not be the head, but I'm the man. I'm the head of my house. Anyway, several years back, and I was taking off going over to Shawnee, and I found me another truck, and I was going to go trade my truck off. And man, I had a good little old truck, but it's a little truck, and I need a big truck. You know, I had one of them S15s, you know, them small ones, four-cylinder motor, five-speed transmission. And God had directed me to it, gave me a really good ride to ride back and forth to work in. Good ride. Comfortable, had air conditioner, it worked, and it's sharp looking, but Melissa had wrecked it. She knocked the mirror off of it. First time I let her in, I said, go pull that pickup around. She'd run right into a gate with it. But anyway, messed it up a little bit, so I need to trade it off. It's messed up now. And I found me this old clunker truck. It's an old Ford. And, man, I was heading up there to Shawnee to do some swapping. And I can tell you almost the exact spot I was at on I-40. I was right there on the Teeker Diagonal, right there as you go around by Sam's Club. I was making that curve. And God said, don't do it. I'm almost like he was sitting in the seat beside me. Don't do it. You know where I went, don't you? Straight to the car lot. And I traded. I traded. God will give you wisdom. Not only he'll work, but he'll also speak to you. And I did it anyway. So I had a succession of trucks after that because that wasn't any good. And the next one I got wasn't any good. I think the next one I got wasn't any good because I didn't listen to God. So he taught me a lesson. Sometimes we make those mistakes and he'll teach you a lesson. He wanted me to be wise, but I was foolish. So sometimes, but you know, God says you are smart enough because he'll give you the wisdom you need. Amen. You say, I feel alone. You ever felt that way? You can be in a crowd and feel alone sometime. Just feel alone. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do to me. The Lord is my helper. I can boldly say, I'm not alone. The Lord's my helper. It's an old song, and I don't know all the words to it, but it's sort of like this. It says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Where would I be? And that's the way I feel sometimes. Sometimes we can feel lonely, feel all alone, in a crowd even, but God's still our helper. God's still on our side. We don't need to fear. God's there. Amen? Amen. Did those 15 things help you? Would you like a copy of that? Number 15. You say, I feel alone. Well, quit bothering her so she can hear me. Don't have to repeat it the third time. God, and by the way, Blaine, I'd have protected you if you'd have hit her upside the head a while ago for me. I don't know what she's laughing about, but I told him to slap her upside the head, and he goes, mm-mm. I'm not touching that. I'll get in trouble. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Abigail. Hebrews 13:5-6. And he's our helper. Amen. Now, seriously, if you want a copy of this, it's $5 a copy. Seriously, it's free. I'll make some copies for you if you want it. Because I think it's helpful. I think it's helpful to us all. Take it home and look at it. And that deal I read to you this morning, I put it on a full piece of paper, and I'm going to put it on my desk, and I'm going to look at it every day for a week or two. God can do this, and he'll take care of me. Don't you need encouragement sometime? Well, I do. If I'm going to get up there and stand in front of you, I need to be encouraged once in a while so I can bring encouragement to you. Well, stand with me.